Shine. Would you say it with me in both locations this morning? Shine.
Shine.
No, say it like you mean it, church. Shine.
Shine.
Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, as we continue in this series that we've began last week with Pastor Chris called Shine. Now, Pastor Chris mentioned as you're turning there that we would begin with our conference this year. The theme would be Shine, and you'll hear more about that in 2 weeks. But you could probably think of lots of references all throughout this world relating to light, or relating to this opportunity for shining our light. Take music, for example. Anybody remember these songs? I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens. Remember that one? Who's that? Remember who sang that? Go ahead, say it. DC Talk did a version. A lot of others did versions. How about this one? Shine, make them wonder what you got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking in. Who sang that one?
Newsboys,
that's right. Shine. Or, okay, let's just go ahead and get real. This is the one everybody knows. Baby, you're a firework. Make them talk. I'm just kidding. Yes. Wait, she's a pastor's daughter. That's okay in church, right? No, okay. That's a whole nother sermon. Let's see what the Bible has to say to us. Now, I got to tell you, I'll be honest with you. Pastor Chris called me yesterday. He had planned to preach this sermon. But he said, Justin, I just fail as a preacher compared to you. Would you get up on the stage instead of me this morning? Are you watching online right now, Pastor Chris? No, he didn't say that. No, but seriously, most of you know, and we'll pray again at the end of the service, he is planning to have open heart surgery on Thursday. He's getting rid of his cough. And as much as he loves y'all, he just thought it would be best to stay home and make sure he didn't hug and handshake some more sickness before he gets ready to do that. So you be praying for him, and I appreciate you guys doing that and giving me the opportunity to throw together this one-day special about Shine. You ready for this? Let's check out God's Word. Matthew chapter 5. Will you stand with me in the honor of reading God's Word? I'm going to read verses 14 through 16, a very familiar passage. This is the New English Standard Version, Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. God's word says this: You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Lord, would you speak now? Shut my mouth that only you and your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts today and allow us to shine our light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. You probably have noticed the command is clear. We are all called to shine as we began just a moment ago. But that will look differently for each and every one of us. Just like lights come in all shapes and sizes, I brought some examples for us this morning. What's this? It's crowd participation. What is this? This is a lighter. Oh, that's a little light. This little light of mine. You want to sing? This is a singing sermon today. This is called praise preaching. You ready? You ready? No, I'm just kidding. How about this one? You familiar with what a lighter is used for? Yeah, a little candle. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and light that. And when it goes all the way down, Pastor Chris told me that's the end of my sermon. So just keep an eye on that. How about we've seen little light bulbs? This is the one I've been meaning to change for 6 months. My lava lamp went out, and it just depresses me every time I look at it, just sitting there in my office. Anybody got them smart bulbs in your house? Go ahead, raise your hand. You got smart bulbs smarter than you? I can now say, Alexa, turn on my living room light. You know what happens? The government turns it on for me. I'm telling you. Smart bulbs. That's a whole nother sermon too. How about a little lantern? I stole this from my son. Please forgive me, son. He uses this sometimes in his bedroom at night. That's another example. And then, of course, most of you are familiar with flashlights, which obviously come in all shapes and sizes and strengths. Here's my point. We all come in different shapes and sizes, but we were all designed to do one thing: to shine. And I'm talking to the people of God who have the Holy Spirit alive inside of them and just can't help but get it out. Can't help but shine. How about a lighthouse? That's probably one of the biggest illustrations of a light. Just lost my notes, so I'm just going to preach from my memory here. Think about a lighthouse for a moment. Do you know the purpose of a lighthouse? Let me give you a little purpose here. I like the idea of thinking a lighthouse is a navigational aid. It helps one determine one's position, especially if you're at sea, helps you find your way or your way back home. I read a devotional several years ago, said it like this: in the same way, the church exists to be a tower of God's grace and truth, shining a strong light, the strong light of Jesus Christ, as a navigational aid to those seeking guidance through the dangers of our time and the storms of life. It is a powerful image symbolizing the most significant work on earth. You see, church, we are called to shine our light so that others may know this God that we sing about today. This God that we pray to, this God that we pray speaks to us through our Bibles, His Word. The history of the lighthouse is a little different. It's attributed that ancient Egyptians still hold the world's record for the largest and one of the oldest lighthouses ever. Can I show you a picture? About 400 feet tall. The lighthouse of Alexandria, or known as Pharos of Alexandria, was built sometime in the 3rd century BC, probably between 285 and 247 BC, on the island of Pharos of Alexandria, Egypt. It was to serve as the port's landmark and later its lighthouse. Obviously, this is just a rendering of it. But can I say this? No matter the history that's been recorded, technology has been improved on today. Today, with the assistance of a compound lens, the light from a lighthouse, maybe you didn't know this, can be seen over 20 miles away on a clear day. 20 miles, that's far. That is a bright, shining light. But most importantly, I've heard it said like this: do you know where the light from the lighthouse shines brightest? At its point of origin, at its home base. The light that shines furthest always shines brightest at home. Can I say it again? The light that shines furthest always shines brightest at home. How you and I act with our kids, our grandkids. Students, how you act with your parents, your grandparents. How we act around our close friends, those who know us most. How we act online, social media, will affect the way the world will know about God through your life, your personal lighthouse, if I may. So I pose two questions for us this morning. And the first one is this: are you living in the light? We of course know that He is the light. You are familiar with 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says it like this: if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Which really leads to the second question. Not only are we living in Him in the light, are we walking in the light? To walk in the light literally means to walk with God. Are you familiar with this Christian life? For quite a while now, we've called it our walk with God, our personal walk with God. How is your walk with God going? To walk in the light literally means to walk with God. In other words, Justin, what does that mean? How is that fleshed out in my life? Maybe making the right decisions, maybe speaking the right words with the right attitude, maybe making your faith known, visible, shining your light. Church, can I just remind us, don't be an invisible Christian, or what I like to call a camouflage Christian. That's an oxymoron in my opinion. We are called the light of the world. We just read it in Matthew 5:14. So if you're taking notes, I'd love for you to write this down. And I apologize, I didn't have time to get handouts together. You always ask me, where's the handout? I love when you preach. Next time, just wait. But if you're taking notes, jot these three things down, because I believe there's three things you and I need to take away from this passage today if we're truly going to understand what it means to what? What's the word?
Shine.
I didn't hear you. Say it.
Shine.
Amen. Number one, people need the light. The world likes the darkness. Let's just be honest. but they need the light. I came across a story I just couldn't help but share this morning. A young soldier and his commanding officer got on a train together. The only available seats were across from an attractive young lady who was traveling with her grandmother. As the four engaged in conversation, the soldier and the young lady kept eyeing each other. There was an obvious mutual attraction. Suddenly, the train went through and into a dark tunnel, sending the car into complete darkness. Instantly, you heard two sounds. A kiss, followed by a smack. The grandmother thought, "I can't believe he kissed my granddaughter, but I'm glad she gave him a slap he deserved." The commanding officer thought, "I don't blame that boy for kissing the girl, but it's a shame that she missed him and hit me instead." The young girl thought, "I'm so glad I kissed him, but I wish my grandmother hadn't slapped him for doing that." You know what's coming. As the train broke into the sunlight, the soldier couldn't help but smile. He had somehow managed to kiss a pretty girl and slap his commanding officer and got away with both. I tell you that to really help us to understand it's hard to get away with anything in the light, is it not? That's why so many people really do favor, or maybe can I go as far as to say love, the darkness. John chapter 3 verse 19 puts it like this. "The light has come into the world," talking about Jesus, "and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil." So I guess I have to ask myself, as I ask you this morning, how is your light shining before others around you? At school, at work, at the ball game, at that party or that get-together, whatever that looks like, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. I'm speaking a foreign language to some of you, but trust me, it makes sense to others. How is your light shining before others right now? Because sometimes shining your light into the darkness of someone else's life is difficult. Can I get an amen? Amen. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. But God called you and I the light of the world, or if I may, the light for the world, for a reason. Read it again with me. Verses 14 and 15 in Matthew 5 say, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people who light a lamp put it under a basket, hide it under a bushel, as most of us learned. But you put it on a stand, for it gives light to all in the house." We've been called. Church, we have been commissioned. We have been empowered out of our own darkness into His marvelous light for this very reason. You're familiar with 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of" what? "The darkness and into His marvelous light." So shine. Can we turn the lights down? Can we do that? Bear with me. I want you to think for a moment. The light does its best work in the dark. If you and I are called to be the light of the world, and our job is to point the world to Jesus, that means we've got some work to do. Would you agree that this world is a dark place? Would you agree that the light of life, the living light Himself, Jesus Christ, is brighter than any darkness that can cover this world? Would you agree that you and I have a job to do when it comes to shining His light to the people who need it most? And the Lord said, "Let there be light." That's your cue. So first and foremost, I hope you understand with me that people need the light. Secondly, God wants your light. God wants your light. Look at verse 16 one more time. Matthew 5 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Think about that phrase, give glory. Or maybe some of your Bibles say, glorify your Father who's in heaven. Think about that for a moment. I like the synonym praise. I like to think, others will see my good works if I'm living in the light, if I'm shining as God has called me to do. Others will see my good works and they will bring praise to God. When's the last time you've considered somebody praising God because of your life? Because of what God is doing through you? Because of how God has used you to shine His light? Has somebody praised God because of the life that you've lived before them recently? And can I remind us that we're called to be a reflection of God? Kind of like you might remember last time I preached, we talked about the light of the sun and the light of the moon. And how the moon has no light on its own, but it is a direct reflection of the sun. Kind of like a lot of you looked in a mirror at some point today, maybe just a few moments ago before you walked into this service. This mirror has no power on its own, but when you shine a light in it, what happens? You get a reflection. Amen. The mirror doesn't reflect anything that brings light unless there's light brought into the mirror. As a matter of fact, in your bathroom, there sits a mirror, and if it's pitch black, how much does that mirror do for you? Nothing at all. There must be light. The mirror is a reflection. And in the same way, I read a commentary, said it like this: the believer does not have inherent light. Rather, we have reflective light. As we behold the glory of the Lord, we reflect it. So I guess that goes to say, before we can understand that God wants your light, God wants you to shine, maybe God wants to spend time with you before you're ready to reflect His light. Because if you and I don't understand what it means to really behold the glory of the Lord, to really understand all that God has done for you and I, to realize that He sent His one and only Son, the God of the universe stepped out of heaven to meet us where we were, to take our sin upon Himself so that we can be called redeemed, forgiven, set free. Why would God do that? My mind could never comprehend it. But hear me say this: once you and I can understand, can behold this glory of the Lord, then we can be reflectors. Then we can reflect it, which leads me to the third and final thing this morning. People need the light. God wants your light. So, live in the light. What's stopping you from living in the light? John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. I love how God's word says it. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That helps me understand two things. First, that He, Jesus, is the light of men. One commentator said, as the light, Jesus Christ reveals both sin and God to humanity. So that would be good and bad light from some of our perspectives. It reveals my sin, and that seems bad and that seems painful. But if it didn't do that, He wouldn't be able to reveal God who forgives my sin in the first place. Second thing I think we need to understand is that He is an unstoppable light. I just said it, but think about this. Christ entered this dark world to give us spiritual light. Plain and simple. He didn't have to, but He did. Because His love is unstoppable. Because His power is unimaginable. Uncomprehendable. Incomprehensible, whatever that word would be. So I guess the question we're left to ask ourselves this morning is, why wouldn't we want to be part of that? The light that shines. A light that is unstoppable. And His name is Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 says it like this: the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Has the light shone through you this week? This year, we're 13 days into 2019 now. We all make resolutions. We talked about them. We all set goals. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. But there's no better goal that you and I can set but to use every day to grow closer to the light so that our light can shine brighter, to grow closer to the Lord through the way we study His Word, through our prayer lives, through the words we speak, the love we show others like Jesus Himself. So has that light shone through you this week, especially, listen to me, church, especially to those who are walking in darkness. Now, let's be honest. Sometimes we know about the darkness that's walking all around us. Sometimes we don't because it's secret, and that's why people like the dark. They can hide their sin, their secrets. Regardless if you know about the darkness that surrounds you all day long, wherever you work, wherever you play, wherever you're online, wherever you go, even out to lunch this afternoon, darkness walks around us. So has your light shone? I would end by asking this simple question. What's your next step? I like acronyms, if you don't mind. I want to give us 5 steps before we leave this place that maybe, just maybe, let's use the word shine and try to see how we can better shine our light into the darkness. Be that lighthouse, guiding others, being a navigational aid to those who need the light, to those God has called us to. And that acronym is simply this. The S stands for speak life. Let the words that come out of your mouth speak life into somebody else's. Shine light into their situations. Maybe brighten somebody's day or reveal someone's darkness. But let's remember, we can speak words all day long. But when I say speak life, shine your light through your mouth, so to speak, I'm talking about words spoken in love, words spoken in compassion. Maybe God has somebody in your life you need to just speak life into today. The H stands for hold others accountable. Accountability, I love it, so important. Don't know where I would be without my accountability partners. When someone's light is growing dim, join them. Help them shine brighter. Like a candle that as this one gets down to the very bottom of its base here, you know how a candle kind of flickers out. But you can change the size of the flame by simply adding another flame to it. All of a sudden, that flame gets bigger. Is it not true the same way you and I were created to shine our light? And some of your friends, some of your fellow faith family members, their light may be dimming. But when you come alongside of them and you shine on them and shine with them, their light will brighten up. That's what accountability is. That reminds me of one of my favorite quotes. Maybe John Wesley said this, maybe not. Set yourself on fire with passion, and people will come for miles to watch you burn. The I in shine stands for intentionally love. We can leave this place and say, yeah, I love people. But do we intentionally love people? To shine our light doesn't mean love people when it's convenient or when it's obvious, oh, I got to do this for this person because this situation fell in my lap, or that's obviously something I should do because they know I'm a Christian and they're going to question my Christianity or my faith or question God Himself if they don't see me do that. No, no, no. I'm talking about an intentional kind of Jesus love, like going out of your way to love somebody, going out of your way to help that person. Like Jesus went out of His way for you and I. The N stands for never shine your light without being prepared. Have you ever used a flashlight where you hadn't checked the batteries in several years and you kind of get something like this, where it's doesn't quite work as you had planned? I think our lives represent that sometimes. You and I need to prepare ourselves in God's Word before we go and shine. Does that mean I should miss this opportunity because I'm not ready? No, I don't think that's what I'm saying. But I do believe that just like a flashlight that has year-old batteries that is unreliable, you and I need a recharge to be able to shine accurately through the darkness. That's why we gather together on the weekends and weekdays. That's why we pray for one another. That's why we read God's Word individually and not just for an hour on a Sunday morning. We need a recharge so that we're prepared to shine brightly. And last but not least, the E stands for examples begin at home. You remember I started by saying the light that shines furthest is brightest at home. How is your example at home? Whether that's just you and your wife, whether that's you online, whether that's you with your children, with your grandchildren, whether that's you with your close friends, let's just say your at home is around those who know you best. Because if we're being completely transparent, those who know us best don't know us like everybody else sees us on a Sunday morning, right? Those who know us best know us when we're at our worst. So how is our light shining brightest at home? Let me show you one more picture, tell you one story as we close. For many years, Monterey, of course, a California coast town, was a pelican's paradise. Being from Florida, oh, I despise pelicans. But anyway, these birds, they would gather, and the fishermen who cleaned the fish there flung the offal to the pelicans, and of course the pelicans grew fat and lazy and content, eating the leftover pieces of the fish. However, the offal was eventually utilized, and it was no longer snacks for the pelicans. When the change came, the pelicans made no effort to fish for themselves. They waited around, and of course they grew skinny, scrawny, and weak. Many of them starved to death. They had forgotten how to fish for themselves. The problem was solved by importing new pelicans from the south, birds that were accustomed to fishing for themselves. They were placed among their starving cousins, and you guessed it, the newcomers immediately started catching fish. And before long, the hungry pelicans followed suit, and the famine was ended. What an example. Is there somebody in your life that you need to shine your example upon? Maybe in your home, maybe in your circle of friends, maybe among those who consider you a friend. Would we shine brightly at home and everywhere else God calls us to? So once again, shine, speak life, hold each other accountable, intentionally love. Never try shining your light without first being prepared, and be an example at home first before you go and shine your light to the world. Let's pray together as we close. Father, the message is clear. We were called to shine. For some of us, that comes easily. For some of us, not so easily. But that doesn't change your calling on our lives. So God, my prayer is simple. However you're speaking to our individual lights today, however you're shining your truth into our lives this morning, God, would you allow us to respond accurately to how you're working? If there's somebody here who just feels like their light has gone out and they just need a recharge, God, would you call them to somebody who shines bright for you? They would find that recharge. Lord, for those who haven't really experienced the light of light himself, Jesus Christ, God, would they come and speak to me or speak to someone before they leave this place to get to know you as their personal Lord and Savior? Or maybe they're just looking for a church home to where they can shine brightly within these walls and all throughout the world. That you would help us to equip others to do that. Lord, however you're working, allow my friends to respond accordingly. And ultimately, as we leave this place, as the church leaves the building, may we shine your light so that others will see our good works and will glorify you, our Father, who is in heaven. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing together?